Okay, good. Yeah, same. Okay, so today there's a special suggestion by Sian, Guan Yin Tan. So he wants my wife and me to light the candle and the incense. So we all rejoice. No wonder the lightning and the thunder was so loud. Dialogue here. Oh, so different one. I thought push in front. Okay, yeah. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Oh, go to get, yeah, flower, yeah. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. So Today is an auspicious day, 17th of October 2019. It's also the birthday of Kuan Yin, Kuan Yin Tang. So we will now get ready for puja. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Arahang sama sambuto bhagawa buddhang bhagavanta abhivademi. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghang namami. Okay, you can be seated and turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We shall chant from the Vandana onward. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, dhammang saranang gacchami, sanghang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panati pata viravani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adina dana viravani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kame sumichachara viravani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna sarpa dittena dipena tamadang sena tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang. Ganda sambarayutena dipena hang sugang hina pujaya yujani yang tang puja bhajana mutamang. Vanna ganda guno petang etang kesuma santatin pujayami munindasa siri pada sarorohe. Pujemi buddhang kesumena nena punena metena cohotu mokang pang milayati yata idang me patayati vinasabhavan adivasetu nobante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivasetu nobante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivasetu nobante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and endoses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Paramiya generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or power, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Pajam. Buddhaṃ pujeme. Dhammaṃ pujeme. Sanghaṃ pujeme. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we can have our half an hour of silent inner awareness meditation. We are off the light. I will set the alarm. 30 minutes. Okay. So tonight it's very cooling because of the rain, so you will find it more conducive to meditate. Just relax body and mind, the four support. Relax, maintain awareness. Whatever thought that still can arise, let it arise. It will stabilize by itself. Mm. For those whose spiritual faculty already established, your sati will take over, and straight away the mind will become very quiet, very still. Yeah. You will realize the capacity, silent mind, the meditative mind, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, with the inner awareness within, just aware. Second support is, after you relax and let things be, whatever thinking or sankhara activity, they will slow down on their own. Then your spiritual faculty will take over, especially sadha, virya, sati, leading to samadhi. That is your meditative mind. So just relax, maintain awareness. Whatever that arises within the sense basis, upon contact of mind and sense data, silence your mind to understand what is going on. Don't use your thought to condition you to think. That is not the sati. The thinking, when they arise, there is no meditation technically, unless you are contemplating, reflecting. But in the form of meditation, we are here to train the mind to enter sati. That is more important. So you just silent and maintain awareness and allow the silent mind to develop the understanding by itself. The awareness will develop the understanding. Then later on, when you are very familiar, when you have stabilized all this mind so that it is most of the time aware, mindful and still, then it will insight into phenomena. It will awaken the phenomena. You will understand the essential Dhamma, the three universal characteristics that the Buddha taught, anicchang, dukkhang, anatta. Not from knowledge and theory, it's from the silent within. Through witnessing things that arise and pass away over a period of time, the understanding will arise by itself, because everything is just the way it is. Without the thought coming in to interfere, that is the meditation. That's why that silent inner awareness to understand who are you, what are you, and how you function as a living being is very important. Then how your mundane mind arise and pass away. When you are silent enough, you can see the birth and formation of thought. You can even be aware of the content of consciousness that goes in, depending on your views, opinion, and conditioning. So when you start to see all this, then you realize the conditioning or habitual tendency that you acquire, most of the time is through delusion before you have the Dhamma, before you understand. Later on, when you develop the understanding, then when you understand all this movement, then you realize the mundane mind become such is because of delusion. So once you have this understanding, you will start to straighten your view. You will start to develop understanding, and you will take charge of your life after that. It's no more the thought telling you what to do. It is your awareness with the understanding of the wisdom. Yoniso manasikara. After you have straightened your view, this is the one that take over. That's why you are no longer a slave to your thought, your emotion. Your true mind, together with the understanding and the wisdom, you take charge. That's why you have to understand you are the host. And that one is just a nature within. It's not subject to anything. It's through delusion, sakkayaditi, that the mundane mind condition you into negativity through wrong view, wrong understanding. Because you cannot see all this. you don't have an understanding of who you are, what you are, especially the five aggregates of form and mind. Beyond the five aggregates, what are you? Without thought, who are you? All this you will understand. This is what meditation is all about. What I'm sharing with you is for those who have already meditated, has some idea of what that thing is. Then when you listen to this sharing, you will develop deep understanding, clarity of purpose of meditation. Then you realize all this while what I've been teaching you is actually very simple. But because of your early conditioning from other type of teaching and meditation, it prevents you from having that understanding. Where most of cultivators, they don't know they have two minds. They don't understand that they have another mind, which is the true mind, the silent mind, the nature within. They are seldom with that nature. They are seldom aware. They are seldom in that state of stillness. And this is a free mind, not a conditioned state, not a mind in concentration. That's why it's very different. This one is the real meditation. You meditate with the silent mind, the true mind. From there, all understanding will arise. When you do, don't try to know. Just silent. Maintain awareness. The awareness will understand. Not from knowledge, especially Dhamma knowledge. Not from the thought. But later on, as you come out of the formal meditation, you can reflect, you can contemplate. Then the understanding will stabilize. Then you have more faith, more confidence in yourself. And when you meditate, you will know how to go in. You will know how to stabilize that silence, that stillness, that awareness within. It's just aware, aware, aware. Then later on, the mind becomes so quiet, so still. Even the movement all starts to settle down. Then the awareness also becomes very still, very stable. That is pasati, mind entering sati. When your mind enters sati, it is very sensitive. Everything within you is like magnified. You will develop a lot of understanding. Then you can really meditate after that. Okay, I will leave you all to do your own training of mind to develop this meditation. When the alarm goes off, means it's already half an hour. After that, I will ring the bell. Then you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Then try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the meditative mind state that you need to carry over into the daily life. Then you can develop until the mind has entered sati. Then everything you do when you come out of the formal meditation is in sati. Every moment or activity is in sati. Your awareness and your bodily movement or kaya move as one. Then your awareness can be aware of specific phenomenal awareness. The initial one is your physical phenomena. Then you can even see the external nature's phenomena. Then when you are silent and just aware, you can also see your mental phenomena. The mundane mind, the aggregate, how they arise, how they pass away. And when your stability of mindfulness is there, you can be at the moment of contact, moment of feeling, perception, sankhara or activity of mind movement. You can even be at the moment of consciousness before the input of content. All this, you will have the ability to see them very clearly. And this is what makes you different. This is what can awaken you, develop the understanding, allow you to see things as they are, not according to your conditioned thinking, conditioned mind, views, opinion. Okay, I will let you meditate on your own now. slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Then turn to page 6. We will chant the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching.
Samanta Chakvalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Munirajas Sunantu Sakkamokkhadam Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta
Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Ittipeso Bhagava Arahaṃ Sammā Sambuddha Yeca Charana Sampanno Sugato Lokavido Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Sattā Deva Manusānaṃ Buddho Bhagavati Svākāto Bhagavata Dhammo Sandhittiko Akāliko Ehipāsiko Upanayiko Pachyatam Veditabho Inohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Saukasango Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Saukasango Nyaya Patipanno Bhagavato Saukasango Samichi Patipanno Bhagavato Saukasango Yadidam Chattari Purisa Yukani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Saukasango Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakeneyo Anjali Okay, let us pay respect to Tripaja. Buddhaṃ pujayami. Dhammaṃ pujayami. Sanghaṃ pujayami. Okay, you all can be seated. And we will continue with our second session. Just maintain awareness within, some form of attention. Last week, I remember Adam shared with me some meditation reporting after the class. Then I told him very good, he should share it during the class so that everybody can learn. I don't know. Yeah. So, sadhu. Yeah, she wants to understand certain things. She got, I think, 2 questions, if I'm not wrong.
Actually, it's 1 question.
Oh, 1 question. Okay, can. Yeah.
Sorry.
No problem.
Okay.
Yeah.
I repeat the question.
Yeah, can.
Okay, I would like to report that during my meditation, I felt that there's a itchiness
on the ears,
at the nose.
Like, nose there, yeah.
So, Brother Teo asked me what I do when this tactile sensation comes.
So that one is later. I think you asked me something else. You say you have been having this problem for quite a while, but you did not ask. Then you ask me. Your question is like, you want me to tell you what to do. So I ask you back, what do you do? From there we start. Well, the tactile one was my answer to you. I ask you to do certain things, then only observe that. You explain to them what you do. Can you remember what you told me?
Yes, I remember. So I explained that I stay with the
You say you follow my advice, let things be. But I say, how do you let things be? Well, the meaning is very deep. So you say you stay with that so-called sensation or itchiness. But you already call it itchiness, you remember? You already labor. So what is that? That is a sensation that you don't like, understand? So that's why I explained to him the instruction may be very simple. I always tell you all, let things be, right? Means what? Not to suppress, not to not do anything. No. So his first answer was, he said, I follow Brother Teo's advice. I let things be. Means he itchy also, they not scratch. He let things be. The nose itchy, the ear itchy, they not scratch. Then I don't know whether he got mentioned, I note the sensation. Luckily you did mention. Other people say, I note the sensation. But then I asked, what did my instruction to you on meditation? So he cannot remember. I say, what is the first to support? I say, relax into it. Whatever arises, don't worry. Relax into it. Accept the reality of the moment. Means no need to do anything. Relax into it, then maintain awareness. Did you do that? Well, he realized his thought was active. Understand? The thought already created the word itchiness. The sensation that he don't like, it has become a hindrance. That's why you cannot silence your mind. You cannot meditate. What you're supposed to do is not to label it. Like the Buddha say, whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions. You haven't found out. Like my daughter, she inquired, she found out. It was our conditioning. Well, we don't like this type of sensation. That's why we label it with negativity. Itchy. So the easiest way is what? Scratch. Then it makes you feel better. But sometimes you scratch too hard, you hurt the ear. Then the nose, like, it's so itchy, it want to make you sneeze or trigger off something else or not. But to meditate is different. To meditate means you aware. That's why I relax. Don't panic. Don't allow the thought to create all the verbalization and everything, the conditioning all come in. That is not meditation. That is the mundane mind creating, causing all the thing. So what you're supposed to do is relax, aware. The first two support, look here. The four important support for awareness-based meditation. First is relax. Relax means relax into every mind state that arises, which means itchiness also relax, pain also relax, restlessness also relax. All this is for you to develop the ability to accept the reality so that you can relax into it. Otherwise, your sankhara won't move. Understand? Or? You want to do something because you already create the aversion, which is a mental hindrance. Where's the cut? Without you realizing it. That's why without sati, you can't. You are not sensitive. That is the reason why without sati, you are not sensitive. So itchiness is a sensation that you don't like. So this is a mental hindrance. It has hindered your mind from entering the meditative state. That's why you cannot meditate. Then your sankhara is active some more. Your conditioning keep on causing you to think of ways to overcome it. Then you forgot the instruction. Like today, it will be very good. He told me he has compiled a list of my saying that can help people develop the understanding of meditation. It helped to support your cultivation. So she has prepared. I was told it was about 9 pages. She was sent to me. I will go through. Then we edit and later on we go through. It will help you a lot. But these are the things she found useful. Very useful. These are the experience that the cultivator developed and they can share with you so that without you having the sensitivity of mindfulness, it can prompt you and tell you something is not right. Like last time I used to tell you all, whenever you are unhappy and not peaceful, what is happening to you? Means the evil roots are there. That's why you are not peaceful. You are not happy. When you are not happy, means you got problem. Something is disturbing you and worrying you. But because you are not sensitive, your mindfulness is not stable. You are not sensitive. There's a dislike, this aversion or dislike or so-called problem. You cannot sense it. And you are caught in it, creating more sankhara through your habitual tendency, your wrong view and all those things. Then you project your thought, you create fear, worry, anxiety. That's why you cannot meditate. So whenever you are aware that you are not peaceful, then you know the evil roots are there. And you are unhappy means you got problem. So evil root means self-delusion, greed, hatred, emotion inside there disturbing you already. Means you lack right view. You have been caught in sankhara activity that condition your suffering, your misery. So this is one of the best way to establish yourself in the meditative state. If you are in the meditative state, you are very peaceful. You are just aware, relaxed, peaceful. You got no negativity or mind state. That's why the best check is whenever you are not peaceful and unhappy, the evil roots are there. Then you investigate into it. Don't just believe me. Do you understand? That's how you progress. Otherwise, you cannot progress. Then you become sensitive. Every time you are not happy, you recall. It prompts you. Oh, Brother Teo said the evil root. Then you trace the origination vector. Why are you in this state of mind? What is bothering you? Then you realize the Four Noble Truths is very clear. This is suffering. And the cause of it is self delusion, that condition, attachment, clinging, grasping, I give meaning, I hold, I worry about it. I didn't develop the clarity of mind to overcome it, to understand it, to move. That's why I'm caught in that state of negativity of mind state. The lack of peace, the unhappy feeling or sensation. So coming back to Adam's meditation situation, is the same. Relax into every mind state means no matter what happened, just relax into it first. Then second support is maintain awareness. Don't try to know. Don't try to verbalize or don't try to do anything. You're just silent. Aware means silent. The moment you are without thought, you are already aware. You don't have to practice to be aware. You don't have to try to be aware. Where they're trying is by the thought. Relax, then let the thought slow down or settle down and maintain awareness. When you maintain awareness, you don't labor. That sensation becomes just a sensation. No positive, no negative means no mental hindrance. Then what happens? Your sati will take over. If your spiritual faculty already developed, very fast your sati take over. But if you have not developed this, you have to wait for a while for it to settle down, the thinking, the sankhara, then it will become very quiet and very still. Then in that silence, that is what meditation is all about. Just aware, the understanding will come. Then how to develop the understanding, because he is still new. That's why I have to teach him. When you are silent, your silent awareness will detect the tactile sensation. Do you know that sensation is from tactile consciousness? That's how you know it's from your ear and your nose. Then when you completely silent your mind, you can see how that tactile sensation trigger off the conditioning to make you label it as itchy. Then it conditions you to have the intention or the eagerness to scratch. It's not the intention. Straight away you want to scratch already. Understand? See this. Then you tell yourself, the thought is not me. It has got no power over me. How come I allow thought to take charge of my life, to condition me to do so many things? That is not right. So you develop the understanding to take over. Then from your inner awareness, because you are the host, you decide. What happens if I don't want to scratch? I can find out, isn't it? But when you do this, you don't go and verbalize, understand? You just maintain the awareness inside there and stay there. But of course, when you are new, you cannot do it for long, because the itchiness is so strong, it will overpower you, and you will go and do something. It's okay. Do it mindfully. Understand? Then later on, try. Try not to do anything. That's why I used to teach NB last time also. Assume you are dead. When you are in a form of meditation, assume you are dead. A dead man cannot scratch in there. Cannot do anything. How itchy also you cannot do anything. Well, your body is dead. You go through that phase. Then your awareness will understand. All this so-called itchiness or what is a conditioning, a mental conditioning. When you just relax and aware, it ceases to be. Even pain ceases to be. Because when you are relaxed, the chi flow, you are calm, you are peaceful, sati take over. That's why that shift of consciousness can come. Then the so-called sensation become quiet, peaceful, tranquil, and still. That's how you learn. Then you realize sensation or the so-called feeling is not you. It's dependent originating. Condition arising, causal phenomenon. This you only contemplate when you come out of it. Because these are conditioned states that arise, then through your awareness, you witness it ceasing. That's why you come to understand they come and they go. They are not intrinsic. within your nature. This is what meditation is all about. But how many of them understand to go into the silence, the stillness, the awareness, to develop the understanding through awareness? The awareness is not a thought. That's why the real meditation is just silent, aware. So that the awareness can understand what is really happening, see things as they are, then understand clearly who are you, what are you, what is going on, what is moving your mundane mind, causing the mundane mind to project and do all those things. How does the word come about, itchiness? How does it condition the form and mind to do things? How does you stir your mind and become emotional, unhappy? This is what meditation is all about. Sati will allow you to see all these things. Then you start to understand. Your form and mind function according to nature's law, following the law of dependent origination, paticca samuppada. Means the dwelling. Then you can check whether the Buddha is correct or not. Dependent on ignorant avijja, it conditions sankhara, activity. That is the first link. So what is avijja? You can say ignorant. But if you cannot define it further, it's just a word. It defeats the purpose. Ignorant of what? Ignorant of truth, the reality of what is happening. Because you don't understand, you have this ignorance. That's why you create sankhara thinking. Believing that through sankhara activity thinking, you can understand. It's just like in school. One thing to know. One thing to experience. When you don't understand, the teacher say, go back and think about it. So you thought through thinking, you can develop understanding. Through thinking, you develop knowledge. Through thinking, you cannot develop wisdom, the understanding of the reality. So when you are silent without the thought, that is different. That is meditation. That's the reason why the last two Thursdays, remember, we have two minds. Meditation starts with that basic understanding of mind. We have two minds. One is the mundane mind, conditioned arising mind, thinking mind. That one, you use it for living. To live life, you need that mind. You need to arise that, use that. But to meditate, you cannot use that mind. Because that mind itself limits you. Yeah, that is the thought. You are trying to develop the meditation to realize the enlightenment which is beyond thought, beyond mind. That's why you cannot use the thinking mind, the mundane mind, which is the thought. So you have to realize the true mind to meditate. Because that is your true nature, which is beyond thought, beyond mind. The silent within. And hardly anybody know that or understand that. In Thailand, they say stay with the knower. That one is not a knower. That is an awareness. It's not somebody that can know things. The knower is the thought already. We have to know something. You have to arise the mundane mind. The perception come out already. So that one is the true nature within. Your true mind. Your silent inner awareness. That is your true nature. And it's not a thought. It's not a being. It is just that nature within. That's why you have to realize that to meditate. And that is the one that can understand. That can witness all this arising and passing away. That's how the Buddha come to understand all this teaching. Then you will see the link. Avijja paccaya sankhara. And when sankhara arise, how it condition mental consciousness. Then how you input the content of consciousness and become the namarupang, which is the thought. And how the thought create duality, mental hindrance and all those things. And how when you are aware, you can be aware of the mind state, sankhara. When you are restless, aware. That's why the first category of dhamma that the Buddha taught under the four foundations of mindfulness, the four foundations is mindfulness of the five mental hindrances. You have to be aware. Whenever the essential desire, you will aware. When you aware means what? You already understand that feeling has been stirred and conditioned into mental hindrance, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience, which is basically sensual desire and ill will. And with the mental hindrance, how can you meditate? That's why you don't label as pain, itchiness, numbness or what. Just assume you don't know anything. I want to find out. Then follow instruction. But you say relax. Did I relax? After relax, what happened? When you are relaxed, you are more calm, isn't it? You are less restless. Then after that, maintain awareness. I mean, don't think. Don't think, the sankhara activity will not arise. Then the awareness will take over. That's how your sati take over. And you will become quiet, peaceful, and still. Initially, your spiritual faculty are not stable yet. Then you have to train. Otherwise, this one will not come in and help you. So when your spiritual faculty are still not stable yet, you have to do a lot of training, skillful means, to develop the ability of the mind to calm down. And the fastest way is, if you can, you don't even have to use the mind sweeping method or combine with what they call metta. That one is for people who really need instruction because they got nothing to do, their mind cannot settle down. But when you have this understanding that without thought you are already aware, like swimming, understand? You don't need the float. Why do you need the float to help to maintain you to float? Your body is lighter than water, it's buoyancy. Why must you learn how to float? Your true mind is already in sati, aware. Why must you learn how to be mindful or aware? So when you understand this, what must you do? Relax, aware. Then without the spiritual faculty also, as long as you don't label it to become mental hindrance, whatever sankhara activity through your heedlessness in daily life, they will start to slow down, slow down, slow down, and finally become very quiet and still. That is what meditation is all about. So the Buddha has given the water analogy. You remember, he asked Ananda to go and collect water. The first two times, because blockade passed by that pool of water, it was murky, not conducive. So Ananda came back and told the Buddha the water was not fit for drinking because the blockade stirred it, the sediment, make it murky. But the third time at night, when he went again on the Buddha's instruction, he realized the water has become clear because there was no more blockade stirring it. It settled down, everything, sediment, settled down. Then he can collect the water. Then he came back and offered it to the Buddha. The Buddha asked him, what have you learned, Ananda? Then the Buddha gave him the same instruction. Without doing anything, as long as you don't stir your sankhara, like the pool of water, it will settle down and become very quiet, very still, clear. There is clarity. The moment you stir and do something, the defilement, the evil roots, all this not rooted out yet, it will arise. That's why you cannot develop the meditation. So understanding is very important. That's why all meditation must be done with understanding. I better write that down. Meditation must be done with understanding. When you don't understand, you cannot do. It's very difficult to do. And most of the time, you are wasting your time. So if you can do this, then you save a lot of time. You save a lot of what they call unnecessary training or practice. Yeah. If you don't have the understanding, chances is you cannot meditate. You cannot develop the real meditation. How can you meditate when you don't understand what is meditation? True or not? You cannot do something that you don't understand. You have to develop the understanding. Whatever you do is the same. Like you want to play sports, you want to be good at it, you have to develop the understanding, then start training. Cooking also same. Badminton, table tennis, swimming, or whatever. You need understanding. When you understand, you progress very fast. Even play chess, same. When you don't have the understanding, you can't. Then you need to train. You need to learn from people who are skillful, who are very good and very adept at it. Then you learn very fast. You cut short a lot of unnecessary mistakes. That's why they call them coach or guide. In meditation, they call them achan or guru. But we all Dhamma friends, also we can learn. So no need really to have the authority over you. Sharing is the best. We share our understanding. We are not concerned about right and wrong. We are more concerned about developing the true sharing so that both benefit, so that all can benefit. So I told Adam, because of this, next Thursday class, he should ask the same question. Then we go through, then people learn. Then Sri Anjasa, when I came also, he remember. He said, "But you, Adam supposed to ask the question." Yes. Last Thursday after the class, he came and asked me first. Then later on, everybody almost left. Right? Dr. Jayanta came. And then I know Dr. Jayanta very new. He also need to learn it. So I explained to him, but he cannot understand. He asked me two more questions. His one is about pain. I said, same. Itchiness, pain, whatever is the same. He said, "No, lah, but your pain cannot one, lah." I say, "You try." Because he still don't believe pain can be done. I say, "Who label you as pain? Your sankara, your mundane mind. You create mental hindrance without knowing. And this is supposed to be the fourth foundation of mindfulness, not the first category of training. And people never train this one." How many of you really did this before that? Hardly anybody. It's in the Satipatthana. And what is sensual desire? You will... Oh, sorry, it's the other side. Sensual desire, you will also... They didn't seem to know. They only know the words. Maybe the interpretation, the meaning of the word. But it means pleasant and unpleasant sensation. Understand or not? Your like and your dislike means the duality. You have created duality. And this is part of the evil root of greed and hatred. It is from there. It originates from the two evil roots of greed and hatred. That's why it has the duality of like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant. And under Satipatthana Sutta, Vedana Nupassana, mindfulness of feeling, what did the Buddha say? When feeling has become pleasant or unpleasant or neutral feeling, you must aware. Aware means what? It's no longer pure feeling. It has moved, it has stirred and become hindrance. And you somehow happily, gullibly follow instruction, labor, pain, pain, pain. What are you doing? Creating more verbalization, creating more mental hindrance. And that is not meditation. But people become gullible. And they say, "Yeah, I don't know, that is not vipassana. I know that it becomes vipassana." If you do that, means you didn't inquire. You didn't understand what the teaching is. The whole of the four foundations of mindfulness is about sati. That's why it's the Satipatthana Sutta. Four foundations of mindfulness, not four foundations of thinking. Understand? You're supposed to be aware. That's why awareness is the instrument to meditate. When you are not aware, it means you are not sensitive. You cannot understand. You cannot see. You are as good as a blind man or a woman. Completely blind to Dhamma. You cannot see at all. If you cannot see, how can you feel? How can you recognize? You can't even see them. That's why you are not sensitive enough. And you don't know what constitutes evil. You don't even know all this mental hindrance, mind state. When you understand them clearly, that's why still understanding, then you can be aware of them. Otherwise, they arise until your mind completely overwhelmed, chaotically, you still don't know. Suffering down there, still don't know. And you still think you do vipassana, nothing here and there, doing all those, I don't know, that is different. Huh? Other people do their way. Huh? But when you develop the understanding, you better inquire and find out so that you are not gullible. So to really go into that silence is not easy, I tell you. Yeah, that is a free mind. Without thought, you are completely relaxed, aware, still. No movement at all. That is what meditation is all about. Not focusing here and there, concentrating here and there. Anapanasati is just an initial skillful means to train your mind to be aware. That's it. Then after that, you have to develop the anapanasati until there is no more breathing, like hardly any breathing. Like everything becomes very quiet, very still. That's why the enlightenment factor, you look at it, is very clear. From sati, you use it to investigate Dhamma. Dhamma vichaya. Then you develop the faith. And when the faith is there, your virya will be there. That's why the third enlightenment factor is virya. Then when you have virya, it will stabilize your sati. It will stabilize your sada. That's how you experience piti, the fourth enlightenment factor. Then when you experience piti, you're supposed to relax into it and maintain awareness. Then piti will transform. Sometimes it will go into sukang. But that one is not an enlightenment factor. Because that one is very blissful. It will create attachment. That's why in the enlightenment factor, sukhang is not there. But piti is there. Because piti is the initial experience of the spiritual peacefulness, spiritual calmness. Sometimes they call it a rapture because you feel so good. It's like your mind rapture into that peaceful state, the meditative joy, spiritual joy. Then after that, you continue to relax and silent. The mind becomes very quiet. Then it realizes the silent mind, which is paucity. But the paucity is not stable enough. But it is a meditative state. It's the beginning of true meditation. So you need to stabilize the paucity until the mind enters sati. Then when the mind enters sati, it becomes very stable. That's what samadhi is all about. So when mind enters sati, it is not the apana samadhi. It is at the upachara samadhi. Stable enough not to stir means this mind is equanimous, unwavering, collected. So the mind that is collected and unwavering when you are in the midst of living your daily life, that is the samadhi, upachara samadhi, not the apana, absorption one, where you cannot live life one, no use. This is the one you can still see, can still hear, can still smell, but at the moment of sense experience, because it's collected and unwavering, it will not stir. You can see things as they are. That's how you develop wisdom and understanding. But you see truth, you see reality. Why is it that your mind has to be collected and unwavering? How did your mind stir? How did your mind stir? When it's not collected and it waver. Understand now? Through what? Through your conditioning, your views, your opinion. That's why you stir your mind there. Yeah, you cannot accept that reality. You don't have right view. Like the Buddha said, thing is just the way it is. Conditioned like that, things will be like that. But I extended it to make it easier for you to understand. I say, living beings are just the way they are. Deluded people do deluded things. Angry people, selfish people do angry things and selfish things. Then the world is the world. Condition like that, things will be like that. So easy for you to understand. Yeah. Whereas the Buddha one is one stanza, cover everything. Whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. Means whatever that arises include human being law, living being law, or whatever that happened in nature law. Yeah. But what we are concerned is mainly we have to confront fellow living being, understand or not, human being. People are just the way they are. That one is most difficult to overcome. Because you realize people who are not easy to be with can make you angry. Right? Especially your own loved ones, your children, your spouse. Then sometimes your unfriendly neighbor, your in-law. So all these are very difficult for you to maintain your peace, your calm, and your love. Whatever Dhamma, they say that one very fast you stir, because human being, they don't have that right understanding. The egoic mind is still very strong. So that part now clear, you know. So the rest of you also can develop the understanding. So you know how to meditate now. You must really go into the silence. Yeah. So now today I want to go into something else that can make you understand better. The Four Noble Truths. Yeah. A lot of people think they understand the Four Noble Truths, but how to apply them in real life, solve your problem. Yeah. Okay, anybody got any problem, name, then we apply. Tell me your problem. pass the mic to. Why you all like to pass the mic to Tammy? Every time question, they look for you, Tammy. But he got no problem. She got no problem.
Very common one, yeah, relationship.
Yeah. Ah, relationship. So, give one example. Your colleague or your boss.
Maybe I would say I think colleague or boss don't really hurt us.
Then?
It's like,
girlfriend, boyfriend.
Yeah,
that one really hurt. Because you put in so much trust. Then suddenly that trust is gone. So what happened? The mind reacted. And what mind is that? Always remember you are the host. So you have two minds. Oh, sorry. I think put it back. No, don't need to use it. Really. So you have two minds. One is your true mind. The other one is mundane mind. So this is application. So this one is your thinking mind. Sankara. This true mind is the one you use to meditate to develop the wisdom. Once the wisdom is there, connected to the form and mind, this one is no longer deluded. That's why this one will not stir will not react. So always remember, the one that stir is always this fellow. That stir and react. Always remember, because this one has delusion. This one deluded. Before arising of wisdom. Before you meditate to arise the wisdom, the mundane mind is always deluded. So like Tammy's case, example, boyfriend, girlfriend. When relationship fail, what happens is the mundane mind will stir and react and become emotional. Anger, hatred, jealousy. So all this will stir your mind, make you very emotional. That it will condition thinking. So what is the four noble truth? First noble truth is what? Not life is suffering. There is suffering. There is a noble truth that talk about suffering. But what did I always share with you? The reality of life and existence is there. The eight conditions define the eighth reality of life and existence. Everything about life, never apart from that eight condition. The first seven already quite complete. But the Buddha summarized everything as grasping to the five aggregate of form and mind through self-delusion. So that is the first noble truth. So you check. What am I doing? Am I able to be aware that this is the first noble truth of dukkha? That's why you have to understand what is dukkha. The first noble truth, first turning the Buddha proclaimed. That's why through hearing or through reading, studying, you understand the first turning wisdom. The eighth reality of life and existence is dukkha, means prevalence of suffering. Suffering is everywhere. Whenever you confront them without wisdom, without the Dhamma and the understanding, you will suffer. And this suffering under second turning, what do the Buddha say? This noble truth of dukkha is to be? Have you learned the understanding of it? Have you understood that this is suffering? When somebody decides to jilt you, or divorce you, how is that feeling inside there? Is it happy feeling? Joyful feeling? Very, very unhappy feeling. Full of anger, hatred and jealousy. Then the thought will project and tell you, how can this joker do this to me? What right has he got? When he proposed to me on Valentine's Day, what did he say? All this is Sankara telling you, making you more emotional and more unhappy. So suffering is to be understood, means you have to go through it. So when you are jilted, tell yourself, blessing in disguise. Otherwise, I cannot understand what suffering is. Understand? Huh? So why did you become so unhappy?
I think it's not that I'm being jilted. I think the person that being jilted and the person that jilted are both also unhappy. Because due to habit.
Both also unhappy. Yeah. I thought it was the only, the one that is affected only. Maybe. Yeah. What he say one is, I think, makes sense. Both unhappy because they actually don't know what to do. You know, situation can happen. At first was very compatible because both also new to the relationship. Both also pretend. That's why Alexander Pope say reality begin after the first day of marriage. Before that was all actor and actresses. You act. Understand? So what happened? Before you get to know each other, you're very patient. Darling, take your time. Don't worry. Still early. I can still wait. After marriage. Why take so long? You think people waiting for you? So all this change already. But what is important is sometimes they enter into a relationship, they're not married yet. Understand? No? Then they realize a lot of things not compatible already. Oh. Especially after you start to go out. Initially accommodate too much. But that is not the real one, that is the acting one. As I said, inside boiling. Oh, inside this lady, one day I'm gonna teach her a lesson. Wow, it climbed over my head already. Everything also called me. Then what happened? They decide to break off. But after break off, lonely. Then think of the love again. Like I say, both also suffer. Then want to come back, give each other a second chance. They not open the mouth. The ego very big. So this is what is happening in life. But what the Buddha teach is very different. Nothing to do with what your mundane mind tell you. All these are sankara. And what is sankara? Sankara anicang. Sankara bring about dukkang. And because it bring about suffering, it's non-self, anatta, not real, empty nature. The analogy is what? Peeling the banana stem. Layer after layer you peel, at the center of it, empty. The core existence, empty. That's why sankara come and go, arise and pass away. Any reality or not? End of the day is only your thought. How come the thought has power over you, can make you so miserable, so full of suffering, misery, anger, jealousy? Question the thought. Who am I? What am I? This mundane mind is not me, understand? This one is dependent originating. This one is non-self. Not me. Dependent originating. When you understand this, you can break free. Do you understand? But easier said than done. Understand? Because your egoic mind is so strong, your self-delusion, that you cannot see all this. You cannot see sankara anicang, sankara dukkang. How do you see? That is where the Dhamma is, like meditation. When you go through that relationship suffering, you silence your mind. Then what happened? You realize this emotion, mind state, they come and they go. When the relationship was very good, there is no suffering in there. Both were so happy. We are both also give and take in there. Try to, like, don't show the true color, understand? So when you are compromising, appreciating, say all the nice words, sometimes they use the word sweet nothing. Sweet word, but doesn't mean anything. Sweet nothing. You heard of this word? So they ask, what did your boyfriend discuss with you? As usual, sweet nothing. Say a lot of sweet one. But when situation change, it become different. So like meditation, you silence your mind and feel what really is suffering. Who is suffering? Because the mundane mind through delusion condition you into that emotion and make you feel sad, sorrowful, jealous, emotional. And that agitated state is definitely not peace, understand or not? Compared to the meditative state. That's why when you silence your mind, relax into it, somebody used to tell me, Brother Teo, I still remember your word. Be with it. Ah, Kok Lun, yeah, last Tuesday. Yeah, you can go ahead and ask Kok Lun. He came all the way, you know, after about almost 10 o'clock only come in. You remember? Oh, then after that, he shared with a few Kayanamita. I don't know whether he shared with you or he didn't. He shared with Elsie. Ah, I tell you a real story he shared with me. Yeah. But don't go and ask him. Let him tell you. He has this relationship problem with the father. 10 years, never say a word because of anger, hatred, some misunderstanding. The elder brother also. He applied exactly what I teach him. And you know what he told me? Brother, you see what? Be with it. Be with that anger, that emotion, that whatever feeling that stir his unhappiness. Sometimes the thought project. Because he recalled through memory all the words that the father say. Of course, the detail no need to know. Then he followed what I advised him. Ask for forgiveness. Repentance. Then meditate. Cultivate all this wholesomeness. Attend class. Then you know what happened? He made aspiration for causes and conditions for the relationship to become normal again, better again. Then last night, the other night, Tuesday night, he said the father came to his house, spoke to him for 2 hours for the first time in 10 years. He was so happy. That's why he came to the class to share with a lot of Kayamita over what happened. Did he share with you, Bratio? Or did he? He talked to Elsie and a few of them. So he said, your advice is the best. He said, be with it. Whatever fear, emotion, and unhappy feeling, he said, it becomes stillness, quiet, tranquil. Then he realized that is the true mind. The true mind has none of all this. But because of sankara, delusion, ignorance, it stirs and it thinks and it creates all this suffering, emotion. Now you see the real meditation or not? A lot of people go through suffering, getting more angry. Understand? Become more emotional. Then, if you are not careful, it becomes a cocoon of thought, you become depressed after that. You keep on thinking and keep on telling yourself, listening to the thought, how can this guy do this to me? Last time he, the memory come back already. When he was courting me, actually I got a lot of choice. But he doesn't know, I choose him. But that was the greatest mistake in life. Yes. Before that was love. Honey, how are you? So, relationship overnight can become disastrous because delusion, no dhamma. Life can be so meaningful and so beautiful, but the moment you start to argue and create all the wrong speech, didn't follow Noble Eightfold Path, it becomes so horrible and so chaotic, and both also suffer, miserable. Is that life? Is that what you want? If that is not what you want, then why do it? Understand? Because the ego, understand? It wants to retaliate and hammer out. You lack mindfulness, you lack understanding, you lack dhamma. So mindfulness is very important. This noble truth of dukkha is to be understood, reflect, contemplate. How can I understand it? Then when you silence your mind, you will realize what I say. Sankara anicang, sankara dukkang. So the three universal characteristics. Sankara, you can see in your meditation. Sankara anicang. Anicang is impermanent. One end or two end, you mean? Anicang. Anicang. Then, dukkang. It will bring about suffering. Then the last one is anatta. Anatta doesn't mean non-self nature only. It also means empty nature. Yeah. So you will come to understand that all this mind state that the mundane mind create through its stirring and reaction, they are dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena, not real. That's why it's non-self, not you. So see this in your meditation, silence your mind. Then you realize your true mind, your true nature has none of all this. Emotion, sankhara, wrong thought. It is just stillness, silent, aware, tranquility, peace. That mind state is so much better than the agitated, miserable mind state. But why do human beings get themselves entangled? Because they don't understand the Four Noble Truths. Even the First Noble Truth itself is so powerful. The reality of life. So you just tell yourself, this is the reality. It happened to everybody. That's why living beings who don't have the Dhamma suffer. But what is the difference between somebody who has the Dhamma and don't suffer and somebody who doesn't have the Dhamma need to suffer? It's because the Dhamma can free your mind. The Dhamma tell you this mundane mind is not real, not you. You have a true nature which is so beautiful, already peaceful, tranquil and still. Don't tell me you don't know how to choose. You choose to be with this mind or this mind. Of course with the true mind. But the problem is what? They don't know how to meditate. They cannot realize this. That's why they are always caught in this. Now you see why Bodhidharma says, Sing Wei Ken Pen. You have to start with mind. And the Buddha also say, mind is the forerunner of all things. Opening verse, Dhammapada first, verse 1 and 2. Straight away tell you, this mundane mind, you have to be careful. Everything arises from there. That's why when this one arises, all things arise. Mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises. So this mind, you have to use it properly. Without wisdom, Dhammapada verse 1 will take over. Suffering will follow you. Like the wheel that follows the hoof of the cart. Because you will act heedlessly with the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. And this is how living beings get into trouble, how they entangle themselves. Then when you understand the importance of this mundane mind, you will straight away develop the faith, the understanding, and you determine to be heedful. Dhammapada verse 22. What happens when you determine to be heedful? Yeah. The wise one intend on heedfulness, and they will rejoice in the rhyme of the Aryas. That's why they can become enlightened beings. Rejoice in the rhyme of the Arya with their true mind. That's why they are always peaceful, aware, tranquil, still. And all this sankhara movement got nothing to do with the host, understand? The host cannot come out, got no word. Why you go and allow all this to entangle you? And what is the third turning of the First Noble Truth? This Noble Truth of Dukkha has already been. Once you understand, no more suffering. Is it very difficult? Engby can do it to a certain extent already. He told us last time convocation, Chim, they all get into trouble. She can observe with awareness all this, and there was joy inside. That's why when you have the Dhamma, you can do it. Otherwise, you get entangled, understand? Oh. Because he told us that sharing in Paris. Almost get into problem with the security guard. They don't allow the wheelchair to be pushed through the garden. So because of that, I think they went into a... But luckily, Engby was there fully... relax, fully aware, and resolve it amicably. Because the children were also there. They were trying to... English all. That's how you apply the Dhamma. Understand? When you understand, you can free your mind. No point arguing with them. You are at their place. Understand? They have their rules. You can try to speak following Noble Eightfold Path. Right view leading to pleasant speech, action, and thought process. Say sorry first. Really sorry, sorry. We are foreigner. We are new to this place. We don't know the rules. Really sorry. If you have violated any of these rules, please accept my sincere apology. And then there is no commotion anymore. Understand? Otherwise, you try to justify. Why cannot? I'm on wheelchair. You don't pity me. I tell you worse. You become worse. Understand? So, solving problem, apply Noble Eightfold Path. Understand? Well, that is the meditation that leads to the end of all suffering. The Buddha said, always go back to that one. The Noble Eightfold Path is the meditation. But that is Sila, Samadhi, and Panya. Understand? When you follow Noble Eightfold Path, no negativity, you are following the advice of the Buddha. You are avoiding all evil, do good, and purifying your mind. That's why Noble Eightfold Path is very powerful. So first Noble Truth can solve your problem already. But when you come to second Noble Truth, it is even more powerful. What did the Buddha proclaim under the second Noble Truth? The cause of arising of suffering is what? Craving first. It is self-delusion that condition craving. So craving, condition, grasping, clinging, holding on, giving meaning. That's what human beings do. Because there is this fear. Fear of what? Losing that relationship, understand? Fear of bobina. This one. In English is what? Mei nian jian ren. Scared your other colleague or classmate or come to know you. The girlfriend dump him, no. Wow. In English, is there a word? Bobin. Not really prior. Losing face. Fear of losing face. Only Chinese can understand. The English don't have such terminology. But whatever it is, the first proclamation of second Noble Truth, you have to reflect and contemplate to develop the first and secondary wisdom. Why did the Buddha say craving? Born of self-delusion. If the egoic mind make me think that I exist, then what happened? There is a personality. Then I believe this human being is me. Then the egoic mind and personality will make me selfish, angry, emotional, fearful. That's why the three evil roots start to arise. And this is all born of ignorance, self-delusion. That's why self-delusion condition craving. Crave means you desire, understand? Wanting. So you want that relationship, but it has become no more what it used to be. Then that one thing, without the right view or the right understanding or the wisdom to accept the reality of the moment, well, this is a first noble truth reality, understand? It not only happened to you, it happened to everybody. But if you don't have the Dhamma, you don't know all this, you will be entangled and you will suffer. But when you understand that it is attachment, craving, clinging, then you ask yourself, who cling, who attach, who grabs? It's the mundane mind. This fellow is not me. Then why are you affected? You didn't even know that you have this true mind. And this is the host. Or we call it what? The boss. This is the host. And this one is never affected. But this is your nature. It cannot come out and live life. So stay here, silent. Then check. It's like meditation. Why that thought keep on coming out? That angry thought, that wrong thought, the thought that become jealous, angry, hatred, emotional, with a lot of negativity. How did that wrong thought arise? Because you cling to that relationship, understand? You attach. You believe it's real. You give meaning. That is the cause of suffering. So how can I reverse all this? How can I untie all this? How? The second turning, what did the Buddha say? This craving is to be not understood. Understood is first number two. Abandon. You better learn how to abandon it, understand how? Or relinquish it. How? Ah, very good. You remember. Understand it. When I understand, no more problem. Isn't it? When I don't understand, only I hold, isn't it? I cling, isn't it? You can develop understanding in many ways. First way is meditative way. You are the host. This fellow is not you. But this one, not everybody can. Understand? A lot of people kena the first noble truth reality still without Dhamma yet. How can you teach this? Don't worry. Don't believe the mundane mind. Believe the true mind. Again, believe. I tell you, that guy doesn't know what you are trying to tell him. It will not help him. So, what is the next way? No, but Eightfold Path. What is the first path factor? Right view is what? Law of? In the past you must have dumb people before, understand? No. You must have done this to people. Now got condition, you kena from that guy. Fair or not? Then? No more complaint, is there? No more hatred, is there? Then at least you can be at peace. And you know what all these ladies told me, you know? After I explain this, got such thing, man. Brother Teo, this bastard. Used that word last night, darling. Now, become bastard. He said, I sacrificed my whole life. I trusted him and gave birth to 2-3 beautiful children. No? And after all this year, he did that to me. When you constantly have this wrong thought, like a tape recorder inside there, I tell you, you sure become depressed. Then the worst is after that, I say, to solve it, because you know it's karma. So first thing, do what you have to do. What is the first thing you have to do? Ask for forgiveness. You know what he told me, she told me on the straight away. You mean from that bastard? Forget about it. Straight away, I said, no need to be from him, from all beings, whomsoever from the distant past until now. You never knew who, understand? That is to keep you peaceful, understand? Then I told her, I said, don't worry, take care of karma. Karma take care of your life. Don't do all these things. Then vow not to break the precept, not to repeat all this. Then vow to cultivate following the advice of the Buddha, means meditate, attend class, keep the precept and all. Then do more wholesomeness. Then invoke power of merits for turnaround, understand? If you already say this guy become bastard already, did so much thing to you, and somehow you want him to come back to you, it's contradictory. Correct? You already say until he 1 cent also not worth, understand? And yet you expect him to come back. But I think most ladies rather, they want the relationship to be back to normal. And do you know, I got one classmate last time from 5. After he break off from another classmate who is a lady, then they try to patch back, you know. So we all were dragged into the picture, you know. So I was told by 3 of my other classmates, is it? Ken Kun, you also come along. I said, do what? He said, go and tell off that guy. How can you dump this classmate like that? We went and talked to him. At first, they were in Form 5, very close, the relationship very good. Then after that, this boy failed Form 5, didn't go to Form 6, went and joined Army. And you know Army, got a lot of things. So he said he don't want the relationship. Then we go and talk to him. Hey, we are schoolmate, or colleague for so long. How can you just do that? You want also break off amicably and all those things. You know what his reply was? He said, the wound may heal, the scar is there. He talked like that. When the word went over to the female classmate, I tell you, make her so angry. So finally, marry an Indian guy. He become like vengeance already, hatred already. So relationship without understanding is not there. So applying the Dhamma is not easy. So that's why a lot of people who have faith in me, follow the advice, finally turn around. And finally something happened, then the husband came back, also God. Then happily ever after, also God. But what is more important is, if people don't have the Dhamma, you have to explain to them, this is one of the way to get out of suffering. Because by doing this, you can tell yourself it's a blessing in disguise. If I don't have this type of problem, I wouldn't come to the Dhamma. Understand? And Dhamma is priceless. When I understand this Dhamma, I can change over to a better life. I can follow the advice of the Buddha and I can be free from all suffering in the future. So, based on this, they will become more happy, more confident, more peaceful. Especially blessing in this guy. They say, Brother Teo, otherwise I wouldn't come and listen to you. I wouldn't attend all these classes. It's only because I confronted this, like Kok-Lun's case, because of Eric. They all were together. So Eric came out, then he also came to my class. So far, 2 years already. He came to our gathering of Kalimitta 2 years already. Bring the whole family. This year, the wife and the children all also become star. Because Kalimitta allowed them to do. The two kids were very cute. And the wife also very supportive. Yeah, they can see Kok-Lun change a lot. He become more calmer. He said meditation helped him a lot. Be with that emotion helped him a lot. That's why people who sincerely listen, follow instruction, they progress very fast. Then the other way to let them understand better is, this one I really taught a college girl, second year. He got two first noble truth reality. First, the mother passed away. She became very sad, very depressed. Because the mother actually was the one that took care of her and her other brothers and sisters. Whereas the father is not so responsible that. Then after that, he went to college. Then he get to know a boy, not really boy, a working man, but not that old. I think graduate after a few years. So this guy actually, I think helped her, then managed to like make her feel so much better, because it's like somehow there is a secret relationship went on. So everything returned to normal after the first 2 years the mother passed away. Then they met this guy. Then they established some very close type of relationship, I understand. Not in intimacy, please. It's because this guy is trying to help her and bring her back to normal mind state and all those things and have the happy life. Then he said she was very full of joy and all those things. Then she even came to attend my meditation class and help out during Vesak. But that time she didn't take the Buddhist teaching seriously. Then one day, suddenly, I think after about a month, he attended the class for 4 weeks consecutively. Last night Thursday class was there. at another Buddhist center. Then the fifth class, she came very early. You know. I can see her eyes in tears. So. Still sobbing inside there. Then I realized something is troubling her. I asked her, is there anything that happened to you? And she started crying. I said, don't worry, we can talk about it after the class. Then after the class, there was another colleague who fetched me, there was a lady, so better bring a lady along. So three of us went to this, it's a cafe, I think. So she told me all this type of problem. Then I said, you don't worry. The boy maybe have a reason, the guy has a reason why he wants to break off. He don't want to cheat you, but he's married actually. But he was so sad because the mother one haven't really healed. This one come again. I said, don't worry. You listen. I said, very easy. He being sincere, so he don't want to hurt you. You should thank him for what he has done. But let's say if he has not been sincere, somebody else who wants to break off with you, then you should thank him. He looked at me, you know, why? Because it's a blessing in disguise. Otherwise, you won't come to the class, cry, and won't meet me, and you won't listen to this. I say, he is the one that has to lose, not you. You are so young, full of potential. You can become very, very beautiful in the different sense, not outward appearance. I say inwardly. I say you came to the class, develop meditation, learn the Dhamma. I say the moment you learn the Noble Eightfold Path, then I am going to teach you, of course, ask for forgiveness, all those things, which in her case is not really that relevant, understand? Maybe to a certain extent somebody did certain thing to people in the past, then now she got this. But this one is because out of concern and love not to hurt her further, she told her he got to break off from her. So I say, because of that, you can cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. When you have the embodiment of Noble Eightfold Path, a lot of boys will like you. You will have a lot more opportunity. And now you're still student, you are still young. When you come out to work, you will meet more people and you will understand what I am trying to share with you. And you know what happened? After that, it so happened a few months later, where she was a second year art student, I think, mass comm, I don't know what. She got training. 3 months later, or 4 months later, she came to the Sunday talk. I was giving that Sunday Dhamma talk at that Buddhist center. I think it's Bob's. Suddenly I saw a girl dressed up very well, very pretty and very cheerful, smiling at me. You know, I cannot really recognize her. You know, when she come for meditation, very simple, then that night sobbing like anything. Then as she approached me after the talk, then I remember her. I said, what happened? She was smiling, and she told me, she said, Brother Teo, thank you so much. I said, what happened? He said, what you taught me was wonderful. I applied them. He said, now I'm so happy. So he gave back his life, and he told me, she told me, even my classmates, they don't believe, because they saw her so sad and so depressed, it's like somebody's parent passed away and all those things. And within 3 months, he turned around so beautifully. And the classmates, they also asked her, what happened to you? What actually happened to you? How did you become so bubbly, cheerful again and happy? He hinted to them, Dhamma. Some of them non-Buddhists cannot understand. And it really happened. That's why I say you have to give people hope, understanding. It's not the end of the world, understand not? He doesn't want you, means he is the one that actually in Cantonese what you call. No. It doesn't have the eye to see the right thing. No. Chi what? Yao ngan mo chi. Wow, very good. Thank you, Andrew. Yao ngan mo chi. I think me from Cantonese. Means what? Cannot see the right thing. Yao ngan mo chi. Don't have the eyeball. So cannot see your true beauty inside. Understand? Not? So they miss out on you. So it's, in fact, very true. When you have the Dhamma, you become very different. You completely transform, understand? Personality-wise, character-wise, understanding-wise, and you become such a wonderful person. With inner beauty, with inner understanding, and the one that who can really finally enter into a relationship with you will be the real lucky one. Understand? But all this happened because of causes and conditions. Without this, if you don't have the affinity to meet my nature or somebody who has the Dhamma, you also cannot receive. But where in the past, you have helped people before, especially like Sui An, helped so many this life. So in future, no matter what happened, he will have Kuai Yan, the real right people to come and guide him and bring him to the right people. That's why you can really create condition to help people recover. That is a very, very wholesome deed. Karma wise, you will reap what you sow. In future, when you get into trouble, people will bring you to the right people, the right avenue, and the right place, and you will inherit that parami. So, application of Dhamma to overcome your life problem is very easy when you understand. So these are the few things that I have taught you. So second noble truth, the third turning, what is it? This cause of dukkha, which is craving, has already been abandoned or relinquished. Means you already developed the understanding. You see through everything very clear. Follow Noble Eightfold Path, right view, to accept the reality of the moment so that you don't react and don't stir anymore. As long as there is right view, the mundane mind will not stir, will not react. Do you understand? Then you are at peace. Means what? There is clarity to reflect on what happened. Then you can move on. You ask yourself, what actually happened? How can I resolve this amicably following Noble Eightfold Path so that I can move on, so that I don't have to suffer, so that I don't create any more misunderstanding and negativity, so that I don't pollute the consciousness of the world, of the planet, or of my country. So all these are Dhamma understanding. So when you have the understanding, you're free, like what Adam has learned. Always fall back to understanding. Then third noble truth is very important for people who wants to go the spiritual way. What is the third noble truth? The Buddha said, suffering need not be. Understand? Enlightenment in the here and the now is possible. Nibbana can be realized. So there is hope. There is this faith. Light at the end of the tunnel, understand? No? If I know there is such a teaching, I will go all out and cultivate it. True or not? Your suffering need not be at all. People who go through suffering, they will know how bad suffering could be, you know. Just now I was watching this, what, Xuan Zhang. I think earlier on, Miss Puan Chi sent out the whole movie is actually not that interesting. But there was one part very good. There was one general sent to the frontier there, out of place, very far. every time have to watch out for all those the what they call barbarian and also attacking them. He says his life was miserable. He was full of suffering. Then they got this notice to catch this monk Xuanzang, because he don't have the emperor's permission to go west. But the actual story is the emperor sent him. So this one is different. But what I like was that. Oh, he don't have. He didn't have. Switch it on, yeah.
Yeah, because he kept a very detailed diary of all the places he visited, and the culture and the condition
Okay.
All this information are very, very valuable to the emperor.
Because China,
they want to expand. So very valuable. So when apparently when he came back, he was very, very welcome.
The
emperor actually gave him, I think, the temple or whatever, let him translate the sutra and also his diary.
So that was the documentary, huh?
I find this particular one pretty accurate.
There was also another video that show the Indian government, they follow Xuanzang's manuscript. And they uncovered a lot of the ancient ruin that they found. It's Nalanda, I was saying.
Actually, it's the archaeologists. Cunningham or
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, it's because of his diary identifying the spot,
where
Nalanda, that they actually excavated and found a lot of this holy site. So he has actually done a lot of contribution.
Means what I saw in the video, it was a documentary show, was different. That one, the emperor sent him. He was very talented as a monk. Then they sent him to India and he came back with the relics and all those things. Not important. Because I only saw that earlier video, so I thought this one is another version. But what I want to explain to you is that general, when Xuanzang was caught by his men, four of them brought the monk in, he straight away tell his man, this guy can never be Xuanzang. Yeah. I got news. He has turned back and returned to Chang'an. Actually, he want to save this monk. Then after they have gone, he called this monk, come, sat down. And he offered him food and all those things. And Xuanzang was very, felt very grateful. Then the general asked him, what did you monk learn? What is it that you learn? He asked him a very strange question. If you are in a temple, what will you do? He wants to know what the monk do. He said, I will chant the sutta. I will sit and meditate. You mean you don't go and simply think and all those things, no more problem? He said, no. That is what a monk's life is all about. Then after that, he said, come with me. So he took him to the border. He asked him to sit. He said, you know how boring my life is. He said, I saw you eat that thing that I offered to you. The mantou or the noala. He said, you were full of joy and contentment. And you were so happy with just that offering. How can the human mind become like that? He said, do you know, I have sleepless night ever since I was sent here. Every day worry about the barbarian and all those things. And I know if the barbarian come, I cannot defend. There's not enough people, not enough food and all those things. So he said, for me, if I can have a good night's sleep, that is the happiest thing in my life. Do you understand? That's why living being, without contentment, without understanding, and you are caught in suffering, the Monday mind really cannot see Sadayu. They don't know what to do. He can't even sleep, you know, that general. He said, I'm willing to exchange everything just to have one night of good sleep. So this is what life is all about. This is what Dhamma is all about. So when you know that there is a third noble truth that explains to you suffering need not be, enlightenment in the here and the now is possible, you should go all out and cultivate it. Second turning of third noble truth is what? This Nibbana or enlightenment is to be realized. That's why you have to cultivate it, to develop the ability to realize. To be free, you have to realize it. The third turning is this Nibbana or enlightenment in the here and now has already been realized. And the fourth noble truth is the path that lead to that realization, the end of suffering. That's why Noble Eightfold Path. And the Noble Eightfold Path, the Buddha under the second turning say, this Noble Eightfold Path is to be cultivated. That's why you have to put it into cultivation. Not until the day you can say, this Noble Eightfold Path has already been cultivated. Your mind is still not liberated. But the moment you can say that, means liberated already. You have the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path factor. You can apply them. You can live that truth, that reality. Okay? So with this, we end. Huh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. I realize the application part is more important because theory is a lot and now the whole website has them. Now it's application part. You have to go into it. The tree turning and all those things. Then we can discuss it. It's not to say you cannot ask questions. You can, but you must do it. Then only the real question come out. Otherwise, it's all from the thought. When you do encounter certain things, then you ask, that one become relevant. Then my nature will know that it can move further. Because not until Kayamita are ready, certain type of teaching cannot come out. That's why in the early day I used to explain or share with you all what this nature have understood is so much more. What I have shared is just, like the Buddha said, a handful. So it's not easy. That's why as condition unfold, this type of teaching will come out. But over the last 10 years, or total 15 years, it has been beautiful because the condition keep on unfolding. Then for those who are serious, sincere with the faith, you can actually progress very, very fast. And the understanding can really unfold. Your nature will transform. You will connect. You will know what that nature is. Then some of you already on the Bodhisattva path, but you don't know. When the time comes, you will know. Then you become very different. Very, very different. Well, this window is very special, this asana. Very, very special. The consciousness is very conducive. The Dhamma, the true Dhamma is there. Available. Okay, we better end. Otherwise, take up too much time. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let us share merits. Starting with the devas. Akasata ca bumata devanaga mahindika punyantang anumoditwa cirang rakantu lokasasana ittawatta camehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sapasampati siriya Idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Dewa wasatu kalena sasa sampati hetuce. Fito bawatu lokoce. Raja bawatu damiko อิมินาพุญญังกาเมนะมาเมบาลาสมากโมสัตตังสมากโมโหตุยาวานิวานาปาติยาสาธุสาธุสาธุโอเค pay respect mindfully the Lord Buddha then we end so today maybe because it's Kuan Yin Tan that's why the special Dhamma come out okay yeahSo Sui An before the class commented, those who really come despite the rain, they are the one, real one with the faith and sadha, very strong. So sadhu to you all. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Despite this type of rain, no, most people will not turn up. Like Sui An say, oh rain, huh? Okay, no need to attend class. Good excuse. But surprisingly, still a lot turn up. So, also because it's Kuan Yin Tan, very auspicious night. Mm. Okay. And Mi Feng. Thank you.